Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to Panthers playoff preview on the home of the Panthers. AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2. And always live on the free Odyssey app. Sponsored by Celsius Energy Drinks and Hollywood Kia.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Hour number one flew by. The Florida Panthers playoff preview special right here on 560 Sports WQAM. Getting you set for the Panthers and the Lightning. First round action kicks off on Tuesday night, 8:30 Eastern over in Tampa. Game two on Thursday in Tampa. The next Panthers home game will be Saturday the 26th. That's a week from Saturday. Panthers and the Lightning at 1 o'clock in the afternoon for that one. Game three, game four will be Monday the 28th in Sunrise. And then 5, 6, and 7, if necessary after that. The 30th, the 2nd, and the 4th is the calendar will flip to May. The Panthers home games in the series, as I mentioned, game three a week from Saturday, game four a week from Monday, if necessary, game six, Friday, May 2nd. Other first-round series, staying in the Eastern Conference, the Atlantic Division champion Senators and Atlantic Division champion Maple Leafs and the Ottawa Senators, the first wild card team in the Eastern Conference. They will meet up the first battle of Ontario in a couple of decades. Washington and Montreal, also for the first time in a long time, meeting in a playoff series. Montreal, the last team to punch their ticket to the playoffs by getting that win last night. Carolina, New Jersey. On the flip side, that was probably the first matchup that we saw coming. Feels like months ago. We figured that it was going to be the Carolina Hurricanes and the New Jersey Devils in that Metro Division 2-3 matchup. Out west, Winnipeg and St. Louis, Dallas and Colorado, Vegas and Minnesota, and yet again, the Kings and the Oilers. And well, this might just be the year that I think the LA Kings have, I think they have what it takes to get by the Edmonton Oilers. And I think Edmonton, well, they may be down a key piece or two that could really affect them in that series. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But Billy, we're going to get to a conversation here with Etu Luostarine. And by the way, Doug Plagan's here with you, Billy Lindsay, alongside Trevor Harris on the other side of the glass. We'll hear from Etu Luostarine in a moment. I caught up with him earlier today. But as we put a bow on this 82-game regular season, the Panthers' title defense season, is there anything that does stand out specifically for you, Billy, whether it was a specific moment, whether it was a milestone of sorts, or whether it was just the way this Panthers team went about its business as the defending Stanley Cup champions all year?
Training camp and the way they set the tone with Paul Maurice and what he mentioned, this is going to be a challenge among himself. Paul Maurice has never, and 26 years of coaching before this, has never been through something like this. This was all new for him, but they got rolling out of the gate. That was impressive to me. We know how important the American Thanksgiving is as far as making the playoffs. The Panthers were in great shape there. And if I look back where the Panthers were in a couple of slumps, especially around Thanksgiving, where they had the Toronto game at home. They were, I don't know if they lost four in a row or whatever it was. But anyway, they had Toronto at home and Thanksgiving off and then had to fly to Carolina Thanksgiving night back-to-back against Carolina on Friday and Saturday. And they end up winning all those three games. There was another stretch down the road where the Panthers had a losing streak and all of a sudden they were able to put together a nice winning streak. So they were able to put out fires during the course of this regular season that maybe could have cost them. If all of a sudden they went into those really tough games and were on the losing side of that, this could have been a different playoff picture that we're looking at. So they showed the resilience when they needed to, the toughness when they needed to, and kind of the fortitude and everything that we talk about this team and everything that it kind of resembles is Paul Maurice, the DNA, the identity, and it stuck out at important times during the season when they needed it most. And that's what you're looking for here going into the playoffs is all of a sudden, okay, we played really well against the top teams. We know we can compete. There was some ups and downs, and they rode it really well. So I thought the totality of all going in, knowing you've gone to back-to-back Stanley Cups, they did a really good job of managing everything that came their way.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And finishing third in the Atlantic. And of course, it became apparent a couple of days back when Toronto won that game against Buffalo and clinched the division. The Panthers and the Lightning would be meeting once again in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So we'll shift gears now. I had a conversation with Panthers forward Etu Luostarinen earlier today out at the Baptist Health Iceplex at the FTL War Memorial. And similarly to what Billy and I just talked about there, first thing I asked Etu was, as we get ready to turn the page and move into another playoff year, was there something that stood out from that 82-game regular season that was particularly memorable? Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, another great season. A lot of fun, like always. And great experience. We went to, like you said, we went to Finland. Like, that was really, really one of a lifetime opportunity, and really excited for that. And other than that, I think we handled our season pretty well. Played good hockey, and now we're really excited going forward here.
Were there some things that maybe you learned about yourself as a player that maybe your team learned about itself going through this season and preparing for the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think just overall trying to put the piece together for this moment, trying to build our game whole year, for particularly for playoffs, and like how do we want to play in playoffs. Other than that, it's just, I think team had a whole lot of fun the whole season, and I think that's really important for the team building and stuff.
And looking back, and obviously this could be something that carries forward too, did it feel any different as the defending champions? Did you feel like teams approached you guys differently? I know over the course of the year, maybe it was a familiar thing because you guys had won the conference the year before. People knew you guys were a good team before, so maybe it didn't feel all that different. But what did it feel like as the defending Stanley Cup champions going through the season?
Yeah, I think we got everyone's A game every night. They were excited to play against us. We've been really competitive, winning a lot of games for a lot of playoff series. So, yeah, I think it was a little bit different. I think everybody was maybe trying a little harder against us.
And now looking ahead to game one, whenever that may be at this point, a matchup with Tampa Bay, something you guys have been through before. Is there a certain level of excitement to be able to have this Battle of Florida, the Sunshine State Showdown, once again?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's going to be... Well, let's put it this way. I think there's going to be a lot of sparks and a lot of emotions, that rivalry. I think that's a good thing for a series like that. It's easy to get into it, just go day by day, I think, at this point, but we're really excited for it.
And you talk about easy to get into. When you guys step on the ice for game one, I know it's going to be on the road, it's going to be in Tampa. Is there a part of you that's still... Even though you've won a Stanley Cup, even though you've played a lot of big games before, is there a part of you before a series begins where you might just kind of take it in and feel it for a minute before the series gets going?
Yeah, I mean, to be able to win it last year, I think it's just you're more hungry for more, and just really excited for this time of the year. Another opportunity to play these big games, and take it all in and play as good as you can.
How much do you think that championship experience from last year can help you guys going into a playoff series and going into a new playoff season, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we experience that, it's just what we can do in particular situations. Just even if you're down in a game or in a series, we can just play relaxed. We know what we're doing, not trying to do too much, just hold on the game plan. I think that's... It goes for a long way.
Tampa Bay, obviously a team that you guys know plenty about. I guess getting into some of the nuts and bolts, what is going to be something maybe that you see as a big key over the course of a series? And you mentioned right there, keeping that big picture in mind, knowing that you keep the game consistent, that you're going to, you know, more than likely get the results you want. But at the same time, what are some of the big keys against this Tampa Bay team?
Yeah, we went through their lineup a little bit there. Obviously, we know them before, but... They got a lot of speed and skill up front, and then a little bit size in the back end. So I guess we just have to play hard against their forwards, and obviously their D2, play physical and stay on the pucks really fast against their D.
And two more before we let you get going. Last year, Paul Maurice had mentioned that a big reason you guys had the success you had during that run last year was your penalty kill. You went up against a lot of teams that had good power play units, and you guys were able to really stand tall on the penalty kill. You're a big part of that. As far as the penalty kill success, going up against a team like Tampa Bay and going into the playoffs here where the matchups just get that much more difficult, what are the big penalty killing keys to keep in mind?
Yeah, I feel like that at this point, every team has a great power play, so just trying to check with our feet, not taking any penalties. But yeah, it's just I feel like just know who's on the ice, what they're trying to do. A little pre-scout there too, but just trying to do the best you can. Obviously, outwork them, block a lot of shots, and yeah.
I know it's something we talk about all the time, and teams have been trying to figure it out for years. You guys have had some success against him, but Andrei Vasilevsky, always a great goaltender. What are the biggest ways you can make his life difficult over a seven-game series?
Yeah, we also went through his play a little bit there, and there's some ways we can exploit them. The number one key is just stay right in front of him. He's standing tall, and we can get pucks through him.
So Atu Luostarinen there, had a chance to catch up with him earlier today, and we'll hear some more sound coming up here in just a moment. But Bill Lindsay, a man who killed a lot of penalties in his time, Atu Luostarinen there talking about the penalty kill, and he's a guy who's killed a lot of penalties for this Panthers group, and Paul Maurice has talked about it quite a bit, that the penalty kill was a huge reason the Panthers were able to do what they did last spring. Billy, plain and simple, some of the faces have changed with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Obviously, no Steven Stamkos this year. Enter Jake Guentzel. Power play looks a little different, but still feels just as dangerous. Billy, how big, plain and simple, is the Panthers' penalty kill in this series?
It's enormous. You got to stay out of the box. That's going to help. You don't want to be killing four or five penalties a game. If you can keep it three and under, you're going to be in decent shape against the Tampa Bay team. Tampa Bay improved a lot, though, throughout their metrics. If you bring Jake Guentzel in and replace Steven Stamkos, they can drive play at 5-on-5 much harder than they could last season. That's the biggest difference. But penalty killers, if you see it out there, it's going to have to be that aggressive attack. You can't let Kucherov and especially Kucherov have time, but they got multitude of options, even without Stamkos. They still got the bumper. They got the blast from Hedman. They can work it over to Guentzel. He finds the soft areas. It's crisp. It's they can move it. And so if you're the Panthers, it'll be interesting to see the kind of the rotations that Paul Maurice uses. Stick with Reinhart and Barkov. Is it Lundell, Luostarinen, and then Sturm and maybe Marchand? Marchand has to be part of this mix, I believe, in some form. He's one of the great penalty killers of all time. You bring him in here, and I'm interested to see what the rotation is as far as the penalty killing group is for the Panthers. But that Lightning team, we saw in the couple of times that they beat us just how critical that power play can be. And once it gets scorching and hot. So it's a task that you have to block shots, and I guess from my standpoint as a penalty killer, I knew that was my ice time, a lot of it. And you take personal pride in it. You just want to be out there, and you want 20, 30 seconds of all you can give, and then let the next group come on. And that's how you kill penalties. It's got to be short, cleared out, next group comes on. Just intense, rapid, and get after the opposition. And that's kind of the philosophy for this Panther group, is that they like to attack. They like to take away time and space. They're the best team at forechecking up the ice, not allowing those zone entries. And you have to look at it, if you're on that penalty killing rotation, as a privilege. And you have to be excited every time that you're out there. You have to enjoy it and embrace yourself into it and take on the challenge wholeheartedly. And this is one of the biggest challenges that you are going to see. That Tampa Bay power play is awesome to watch, and hopefully not in the series against the Panthers.
Yeah, the penalty kill was great for the Panthers last year, but you saw one common theme with the big adds the Panthers made prior to the deadline, whether it be Brad Marchand, Seth Jones, Nico Sturm, all three beyond capable of being part, regular part of the Panthers penalty kill units moving into the Stanley Cup playoffs. Let's hear a few more sound bites from earlier today. First up, here's another one from Paul Maurice, Panthers head coach, and he speaks here on the dynamic between the Panthers and the Lightning, two teams that certainly aren't strangers to each other entering this series.
I think there's a really healthy respect. Both teams have some really good speed, really good skill, and they're both veteran teams, which means they want it. They're going to play. Both teams know how hard it is to have success in the playoffs. They both had success. I think there was way, I'll go back, the two Boston series, to me, the heaviest series I've ever seen in my life. The first one almost surprised me how hard it was for seven, and last year's was just mean and nasty. There was some dislike, to put it mildly. I don't necessarily, it is going to be hard, it's going to be intense, but I think there's more respect than neither team. So if we combine the two teams and say the style of game is predicated on the combination of two teams, it is not as physical a series as the Boston series would be. When you combine Boston and Florida, that's ugly, right? This will be a more speed-based series.
Well, Paul Maurice talked about the speed that's going to be involved in this series, but he did talk about the intensity as well. And speaking of that, here's Panthers captain Alexander Barkov on what he expects intensity-wise in this matchup and if the Panthers' championship experience they have helps.
Of course, experience helps a lot. Every single year you gain a lot of experience. You learn a lot about different things, about playing in playoffs, about playing in regular season. And so, yeah, for sure, that will help. And obviously, when the game one comes, everyone's ready. There's no doubt about it. Like, all the teams are ready, and it's going to be fast. It's going to be hard. It's going to game one usually is always like that. So everyone's going to be ready. That's for sure.
So Alexander Barkov there, one more soundbite from earlier, and this goes back to something we talked about right off the top of the show back in hour number one, but Sam Reinhardt here talking about the rest the Panthers have had that they will have now, knowing that the series doesn't start till Tuesday, and well, has it helped?
I think you got to take advantage of all the rest you can at this time of year. Like I said, playoffs are a crazy time. No matter how you've been doing, you're always four games from being out. So I mean, you can prepare for game one. Once you're in it, you're in it, and you're in an absolute battle trying to get out of that series on top. So all you can do is prepare for game one and try and be the best you possibly can be, and ultimately that'll help for the rest of the series. You know, we're not strangers to each other. We know exactly how we're each going to play. Seems every game, every series is close. So you know, we're embracing that challenge, and we're excited for that battle ahead.
Sam Reinhardt there, and talking about the rest that the Panthers have had and how he figures that that could help them. Before we put it to break here, Billy, worth noting that at the time we're doing this show right now, the Tampa Bay Lightning are playing a hockey game. They're playing the New York Rangers. Looks like Andrei Vasilevsky not between the pipes for the Tampa Bay Lightning for tonight's game at Madison Square Garden. Looking across the rest of the lineup, looks like a lot of what we would expect to be the game one lineup. But in mentioning that, Billy, before we hit the break here, Andrei Vasilevsky, we've seen him be the ultimate difference maker in playoff series before. We've seen him do it against the Panthers before. If you're the Panthers, what are you doing to make things as difficult on him as you possibly can?
So the Panthers are, they love to work the plays low to high and get the shots through screens. One of the best screen teams in the NHL. That has to be the philosophy against Andrei Vasilevsky. Don't let him see pucks and corral those rebounds. Get to him. Get to the inside positioning on net. Get second chances. Vasilevsky, Bobrovsky, they're both going to make that original save 99 out of 100 times. It's just the way that they're wired. With AC pucks, they're making a lot of saves. The one area that I've talked about it with you and over the time, the one area that he does have Vasilevsky on shots that if you are mano a mano against him or from distance is his blocker side. It can be weak at times. So trying to exploit the blocker side as much as possible. If you do have scoring chances, look to the blocker side to score. But irrelevance, both these goaltenders are really, really dynamic down low. With their pad pushing, they can make some of the most headlining, outrageous, diabolical saves that you have ever seen in your life. And we saw it with Vasilevskiy in the playoffs. We saw it with Bobrovsky in the playoffs. And a lot of it is going to come down, Doug, to this head-to-head goaltending duel between the two Russian goaltenders, Bobrovsky and Vasilevskiy. Whoever maybe gives up a soft one here or there, that could be a difference in a game with the pedigree coming forward. But you do have to blue paint, get there as much as possible. And if I'm the Panthers and everything, that's all I'm talking about in the dressing room is, no matter what, defenseman shooting the puck, blue paint, and let's get there. Let's get around that goaltender. Let's make life as miserable as we can for Andrei Vasilevskiy. And that's the way this group is wired. On the other side, Tampa's not quite wired quite the same as doing that. They can do it. They get their offense from a little bit more different philosophy than the Panthers do. It's equally as dangerous. So both these goaltenders are going to be tested. But that is the Panthers. That's how you go about scoring on Andrei Vasilevskiy, and that gives you a better chance at doing that. And we'll see what shakes out. I cannot wait personally to see this with Vasilevskiy and his bounce back and Bobrovsky. There's a lot of personal pride between those two men, and they're going to want it. They're going to want the weight on their shoulders. They're going to want to carry that burden, and we'll see what happens. But Andrei Vasilevskiy is not unsolvable. I guess you could say the same about Bobrovsky. But if you get in there, and if any goaltender, if it's hard, he can get frustrated.
He scored on Dominic Hasek, Marty Brodeur, and Patrick Waugh. That's why we dissect goaltenders with Billy Lindsay here. Scored against some of the best. So you have that. You certainly have the authority to break it down. So again, great goaltending matchup between these two. Just one of the great subplots to this series that we have upcoming between the Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. On the other side of the break, conversation I had with Panthers writer Jameson Olive. You know him from FloridaPanthers.com, from the Territory Talk podcast. You know him from second intermission of every Panthers radio broadcast. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. And a little bit later, Billy and I will go rapid fire through all the other series across the NHL's first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs and just throw out a couple of things that we are keeping an eye on in each series. Doug Plagans, Billy Lindsay with you, Trevor Harris on the other side of the glass. It's the Panthers playoff preview spectacular right here on 560 Sports WQAM.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for more Panthers playoff preview on the home of the Panthers. AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2. And always live on the free Odyssey app. Sponsored by Celsius Energy Drinks and Hollywood Kia.
Back here on the Panthers playoff preview special right here on 560 Sports WQAM, getting you set for the Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning coming up on Tuesday night, game one. It's going to be an 8:30 Eastern start over in Tampa, and it'll be away we go after that in this best of seven first round Stanley Cup playoff series. Game three will be in Sunrise. That'll be the next Panthers game at Amerant Bank Arena, and that will be a week from Saturday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Game four will be Monday the 28th, time to be determined on that one. So it's the Panthers and the Lightning getting going on Tuesday night for this first round best of seven Stanley Cup playoff series. And now let's get into a conversation I had with Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com and the Territory Talk podcast. We talked all things Florida Panthers. Let's dive right into it here. I was joined by Jameson Olive.
All right, well, Jameson Olive, 82 games in the books. I always say every season feels like it went by faster than the last one. When you look back at the 82-game regular season, before we turn the page to the playoff series coming up, what are some of the first things that stand out from the Panthers in their title defense regular season?
You know, when I look back, it's just you need to take a moment to appreciate just how good a regular season this was. This was a team that, you know, has played more hockey than anyone the last couple of years, back-to-back trips to the final. And when you talk about last year, yeah, there's the exhaustion of going all the way to the end and winning the Stanley Cup, but that cup tour is also exhausting. Partying all summer takes a lot out of you, and it's a well-deserved party. You got to take advantage of it. But for them to then, you know, do all that and come into this year and still win 47 games, I know they only finished third in the Atlantic, but it's one of the best regular seasons in franchise history. It's right up there. I think it's three or four in terms of wins. And it doesn't feel like that because when you get spoiled and you become this great franchise, the regular season kind of becomes just the appetizer. Even though it's so tough to make the playoffs and it's so tough to be one of those 16 out of 32 teams that get there, when you think you're going to be that team, the 82 games kind of just fly by and you say, okay, this is just what we're going to do before we get to the playoffs and try to do it again. But with that, I hope everyone takes a moment to appreciate how good this regular season was. And, you know, the fact the Panthers won those 47 games without anyone really having a career year is impressive. Yes, Sam Reinhart was great. Barkov was great. You know, Bob had a great year. A lot of guys had really strong, good years, but no one had, you know, the 50-plus goal season like Reinhart had last year or the, you know, 100-plus point season like Matthew Tkachuk had 2 years ago. It was just a lot of solid seasons from a lot of guys. You know, I thought Anton Lundell took a step forward. I thought Nico Mikkola took a step forward. Mäki Samoskevich had a really great rookie season. So there's a lot of good things, but they weren't carried by any one guy or any one thing this year. This was just a team that came into the season with on a mission to make it back to the playoffs. They did it. Now we'll see what happens.
Jameson Olive here with us, FloridaPanthers.com and the Territory Talk podcast. And Jameson, something I want to get to before we talk on ice. You mentioned you hope that everybody's enjoying this. And obviously you and I talk to fans out at the Iceplex, you know, all the time. And we kind of get the pulse of everything. And we talk to people in other markets when we travel and things like that. But the Panthers, they're kind of in the heyday of Panthers hockey right now, if you will. And every night when we see the game sheet, 19,000 plus in the arena every single night, and you go out around town and you feel the buzz. You and I have really seen the evolution over the course of the last decade or so, and you know, all the credit starts at the top with the Viola family ownership and everything like that, and everything that's filtered down throughout, and you know, the success the team's had and building that buzz. But how much excitement have you been able to get from seeing that every single night? It's not just, hey, the Rangers are in town, there's going to be a big crowd tonight. It's it could be a weeknight against a Western Conference team and there are 19,500 you know, screaming Panthers fans in the building.
Yeah, I mean, the attendance, first and foremost, has been awesome. The Panthers, one of the best attended teams in the NHL this season. You go back 5-6 years ago, that just couldn't even imagine that. So that's just massive. And of course, that just is, you know, fuels the lifeblood of this team. More fans equals more money to invest back into the team to make this team the destination franchise that it's become. So that's huge. But when you talk about just the culture, for me, it's the little things. It's when I'm driving around and I see the Panther license plate, which I have. It's a great license plate. Go get it. FloridaPanthers.com. Learn how to get it. I love it. But it's the stickers. It's just the flags. It's the little things you see around town that never used to be there that are great. And, you know, to take that a step further, you know me, I'm a big theme park guy. I go to Universal when I can. I'm an annual pass holder. So I spend a good amount of time in Orlando in my free time when I can. And just seeing around the theme parks, Panthers hats, Panthers shirts, I consider that neutral territory, Orlando. Even though it's closer to Tampa, used to see a lot more Lightning stuff at those theme parks. I see a lot of Panther stuff now. And it's the fans that walk up to you and I when we're just around town and around Sunrise and Tamarack and Coral Springs, because we're out, you know, I'm a West guy. The fans that walk up and say, oh, Jameson, like, oh, man, and they want to talk Cats. And it's, you know, I've talked to the players on the team, and these are guys that used to be fairly incognito downtown. Now they're like the kings of Fort Lauderdale, the kings of Los Solos. It's not the Beatles. They're not getting mobbed, but now it's a cool thing when you're walking down Los Solos and you see, you know, Sam Bennett having a bite to eat at Louis Bossy, and he'll take some photos and sign some autographs. These guys are just icons now in the area, and that's awesome to see. So, you know, they built something here. And obviously you got to keep watering that. You got to keep building on it every single year. But more than ever, just the Panthers are Broward County's team, which I love to see.
Jameson Olive here with us. And again, the buzz that we've seen, it's been outstanding. Everybody who's come out to a game this season, whether you came to all the games, one of the games, we thank you so much for your continued support. But the Panthers getting set now to embark on another playoff year, another playoff season, another matchup with the Tampa Bay Lightning. Jameson, I know it's a tough matchup both of these teams perfectly capable of not just winning a round, both these teams perfectly capable of going on and winning a Stanley Cup this year. That being said, do you like having this kind of matchup right out of the gate? And let me ask you this too, because we waited a long time to get a Sunshine State showdown. Now we've gotten it four times in 5 years. It never gets old, does it? This one's big, not only for the league, but especially for our region.
It's massive, because obviously Florida is so big. So to be able to have hockey fans on both, you know, the Gulf Coast and what is the coast over here? I'm from the Treasure Coast up north. What is it down here?
Well, there's the Treasure Coast. There's the Space Coast.
That's farther north, though. What is down here?
The East Coast of Florida.
So yeah, we'll just simplify it to East Coast and West Coast of Florida.
The Jameson Coast.
The Jameson Coast. The Panther Coast. Let's just call it that now. Panther Coast to Lightning Coast. Just to have fans on both sides of the state that are so into hockey is so great. And not only to have two good hockey teams, to have two elite hockey teams, two recent Stanley Cup champions going head-to-head for the last 5 years. You look at, you know, the last 5 years as a whole, one of these teams has been in the Stanley Cup final each of those years. I mean, it's a hockey state now. Everyone in Canada would trade everything they've had for the success these two teams have had here recently. It's been massive. So it's been great for the growth of hockey. And obviously, we talked to the people on the community side, the outreach side, the grassroots hockey people here. All the numbers are through the roof. So many kids are getting into it, whether it's ball hockey, whether it's actually getting out there and doing learn to plays. So this is something that, yes, is great to see now, but you'll see even more 15, 20 years from now when all these kids growing up are suddenly adults that just love hockey. So that's great. But I look at, you know, the series, and you said, like, would I want it? Would I want it now? And the funny thing is, obviously, the Panthers, the biggest question mark is Matthew Tkachuk. You don't know if he's going to be ready. Game 1, 2, 3, 4, who knows? Aaron Ekblad, of course, isn't back till game 3 from his suspension. So you say, oh, it would be so much better to maybe play these guys at full health. But Paul Maurice said it, you know, the other day is, who the heck knows what you're going to look like in round 2, 3, you know? Sam Bennett, you know, broke his hand last year, missed part of round 1 and a little bit of round 2. You could be even more injured deeper in the playoffs if you see him then. So you can't pick your opponents. You can't pick when you play them. But the fact of the matter is, I think if you're the Panthers, just like last year, you have to go through the Lightning if you want to reach the promised land. And I think the Lightning now feel the same way about the Panthers. I think whoever wins this series immediately becomes the favorite to win it all. These are two elite teams. Would it be great to see these teams in an Eastern Conference final or something like that? Yes, but I think they're on a collision course regardless. Let's get it out of the way first round and then go from there. But I'm so excited to see what happens. It's going to be a great series. It's going to be great for hockey. It was a quick one last year. The Panthers took care of business in 5 games. I think this year is a little bit different. I think this one could go 7.
Yeah, the Lightning, I would say, I was asked this recently from the Panthers' perspective, what team in the Eastern Conference is the toughest out? And I would say the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I would imagine if you're talking Tampa Bay Lightning over on the other side of the state with people asking who's the toughest out, I'm sure the popular answer would be the Florida Panthers. And you said it, these two teams have felt like they've been on a collision course every year, and we're getting the matchup here once again as the Panthers get set to head into the playoffs. You like the way the Panthers navigated that tough schedule down the stretch of the regular season to have themselves ready for this moment, because it feels like with a taxing schedule, they were able to get everybody as much rest as they needed. And as you said, the only real wait and see at this point is Matthew Tkachuk's status for game 1.
Yeah, it's obviously towards the end when you realize the first place was out of reach. Brilliant move by the Panthers to just kind of rotate some rest for guys. No one's had a crazier April schedule than the Panthers. They've had 3 back-to-backs here in this final month to close things out, yet still finished before a lot of other teams did. So the schedule's very wonky. Paul Maurice keeps saying, you know, he had 9 guys, or should I say, got a lot of guys that played 9 games in 15 days. That's unheard of for, you know, the final month of the regular season. So for them to be able to get some guys some rest is huge. We got to give a stick tap to Evan Rodriguez, the only guy on the team this year to play in all 82. Iron Man E-Rod. Love to see it. But no, the Panthers, it wasn't just a luxury. They had to do that. With all the hockey they played the last couple years, with how grueling the end of the season schedule was, they had to find a way to rest some guys, and they did. I think they'll be better for it come game 1 of the playoffs. You know, they really managed Sergei Bobrovsky well this year. No goaltender has, you know, played more hockey just in terms of, you know, time, just because he's, you know, been the guy for back-to-back runs to the final. And they came into this year, they said they wanted to play him 55 games. They played him 54. The only one he missed is because he had a baby. So that was, ended up perfect to be able to do that. So he's ready to go, as we've seen recently, one of the best goaltenders in the NHL during the second half. So all the chips are kind of falling into place. Like you said, the only real, you know, 2 question marks is, well, it's not even a question mark. You know when he's coming back, but obviously you'd love to have him for the first 2 games of the playoffs. But it's Matthew Tkachuk. You know, when is he coming back in the playoffs? How healthy is he going to be when he is back in there? Because particularly particularly for that first round. You know, Matthew Tkachuk, you know, Paul Maurice has said time and time again, he's like the emotional leader of the team. He's got a pulse of the team. He knows when to push the buttons on the bench, on the ice, things like that. It's going to be an emotional series, one, because it's the playoffs, but two, because it's Panthers Lightning. I don't think it gets much more emotional than this. Even if the Panthers go all the way to the final once again, I think this will be the most emotional series they play, and you want a guy like that in there just to kind of be the guy that manages the ebbs and flows for the team and those emotions. So we'll see what happens there, but regardless, it's going to be a great series, and if he's back out there game one, you got to imagine, especially for the Panthers, what a boost that'll be.
Jameson Olive here with us, last one for you, and we will have a full in-depth preview of the playoff series wherever you get your podcast coming soon. But Jameson, if you had to point to one overarching key, something that you think is going to be paramount for the Panthers in this series coming up, what's one thing that at this point as we look ahead to the series that you're keying in on?
You know, it's two things for the playoffs as a whole. One is the most obvious. It's just the play of Sergei Bobrovsky. Like we said, he's been the man the last 2 years. You always hear the old adage, you know, nothing's more important than goaltending in playoff hockey. Goaltending wins you games. That's true. Your goaltender has to be on point. You're not going to win a lot of 6-5 games in the playoffs. They're pretty much always 3-2, maybe 3-2 overtime. So that's what you got to have. You got to have good goaltending. And of course, Bob's, you know, look great here. So that's really encouraging heading into the playoffs. But the other one for me is the third line for the Panthers. And it looks like game one, that line's going to be Luostarinen, Lundell, and Brad Marchand. And, you know, the third line is so key for the Panthers because it's really their matchup line. It's kind of their spoiler line. Because you go back 2 years ago to that series, you know, that run when they went all the way and played Vegas, and that line was Luostarinen, Lundell, and Reinhart. And so many teams were like, oh, we need to keep our top guys away from, you know, the elite defense of the Barkov line and, like, the edginess, physicality of the Bennett line. We'll match them up against the third line. We know that the third line's pretty darn elite, especially defensively and with that forecheck, and those lines still got shut down. You go back to last year's Cup run. It was those same two guys with Vladimir Tarasenko. Once again, that line had some big goals, but more than anything, it was a shutdown line against opposing teams' top guys. That's what they want again this year with Brad Marchand, with Luostarinen and Lundell. So we'll see what happens, but in terms of matchups, especially when you're on the road and you don't get the matchups you want, you don't get last change, to have that third line be a line you can trust against the other team's top players, it's a luxury. I'm looking at depth charts around the league. A lot of teams have some good players in their third lines, but I don't think anyone has a third line as good as the Panthers do, and it could be their X factor once again.
Love that tidbit and a little bit of analysis there from Jameson Olive from FloridaPanthers.com, the Territory Talk podcast, talking about what a difference the Panthers' third line can make, because it is an area that shows the true depth of this lineup, and it's been hugely instrumental in each of the last two playoff runs as well. So certainly something worth watching as the Panthers head into this series against the Lightning, which begins on Tuesday night over in Tampa. And we'll have all the action every step of the way. Billy and I will be with you every step of the way across the Panthers radio network presented by Baptist Health. So never fear, Billy and I will be here for you across the entire playoff run, and hopefully it's another lengthy one that goes into the late stages of June. Folks, we're going to step aside. We're going to come back one more segment, 2 hours flying by here on the Panthers playoff preview special, but we're going to look across the rest of the league, and we're going to go through each one and say maybe one thing we're looking for in each series, maybe the elevator pitch as to why you should watch each of these interesting playoff series, because every single one has certainly a plethora of storylines. Panthers will get going against the Lightning on Tuesday. We know tons of storylines there. I'm Doug Plagans with Billy Lindsay, Trevor Harris on the other side of the glass. It's the Panthers playoff preview show right here on 560 Sports WQAM.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to Panthers playoff preview on the home of the Panthers. AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2. And always live on the free Odyssey app. Sponsored by Celsius Energy Drinks and Hollywood Kia.
Welcome back here on the Panthers playoff preview show. We're going to rip through all the other series in the National Hockey League in about 5 minutes. We've spent a lot of time talking about the Panthers and the Lightning. Game one watch party, Brews Room in Pompano Beach. First playoff watch party presented by Yuengling Flight as your Cats take on Tampa Bay. That's going to be Tuesday night, 8:30. Drink specials, giveaways, Panthers hockey, and more. FloridaPanthers.com/CatsOnTap for the info. And all your Panthers playoff tickets, FloridaPanthers.com, SeatGeek.com. Check it out. If you don't have them, you might want to get on that immediately. So Panthers playoff tickets, FloridaPanthers.com. All the info, all the watch party info as well. Doug Plagans, Billy Lindsay here with you. Trevor Harris on the other side of the glass. Billy, what do you say we rip through these? You give us one thing we're looking for in each series. The Battle of Ontario, Billy. We're going to start there. Toronto, Ottawa, first time since the early 2000s, meeting in a playoff series. A lot of anticipation here. Billy, what are you looking for in this series?
For Toronto, Marner Matthews, can they step in the playoffs when it matters most? Can they be the best players along with Tavares and Nylander? It's been the story year after year. On the other side for the Ottawa Senators, you're upstart, you're gritty. Can you make it a series? That's going to be the interesting part. Is it 4 or 5 with the Leafs, or can you extend it to 6 or 7? If you get into that range, then you feel like you have a chance, especially early on. If Ottawa is able to get a split in Toronto, they might be able to start to feel it. And the goaltending is going to be tested. If Ottawa is going to go anywhere, it is going to be on the goaltending back of Linus Ullmark.
Montreal and Washington, the last team in the Canadiens, of course, with the Capitals. Fun to see Alex Ovechkin in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I've said it a time or two, but for Montreal getting in, good for the game. Not only the buzz at the Bell Center, but to see Lane Hutson, Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, now Ivan Demidov on the big stage. Billy, I think this is good for the National Hockey League. Quickly, what do you think?
Phenomenal. It doesn't get any better. The Bell Center, when it gets there, is going to be going. Very tough Washington Capitals team. They are built top to bottom. Their issues rely around their goaltending. Is Logan Thompson's been banged up, Charlie Lindgren. So a lot of goaltending issues going around. But you look at the four lines for the Washington Capitals and the six defensemen, that is why they finished at top of the Eastern Conference. If you're in Montreal, you're just kind of riding this wave. You have to ride the magic carpet wave. Yaroslav Halak, back in the day, yeah, when he came out of nowhere and beat a very stout Washington Capital team. Hey, sometimes things happen, like Columbus beat Tampa Bay in that series. This is one of those series I'll pay close attention to because I do believe there is an outside possibility of an upset.
Billy, Carolina, New Jersey, and we've got about 2 minutes to rip through the rest of these, but Carolina, New Jersey, Billy, do the Devils have any chance with their somewhat depleted lineup?
Dougie Hamilton's back. That gives them a chance. Not so much. You wouldn't think so. Jack Hughes is such a driver of that offense. But, yes, they have a chance. You never know what to get from the Carolina Hurricanes, and yeah, Dougie Hamilton's a difference player. If he's back in the lineup for the Devils, they have a chance.
Winnipeg and St. Louis, the Blues got hot at the end. Winnipeg was hot all year. Connor Hellebuck in net, really the only thing now he doesn't have is a Stanley Cup. Do you take the hot team all year in Winnipeg or the hot team in the last month, the St. Louis Blues?
Going with Winnipeg, the one area that we saw, Connor Hellebuck won the Vezina Trophy last year and exploded the wrong way in the playoffs.
Billy, finishing up.
Yeah, so Connor Hellebuck, he's got some demons to answer in that first round. I believe he does. He's able to exercise them, and they're able to go on to the second round relatively easy. St. Louis will put up a fight, but Winnipeg's too good.
Colorado and Dallas, Billy, I think I'm nervous for Dallas about the Jason Robertson thing, leaving that game, no Miro Heiskanen, because of those two bits of uncertainty. Billy, I don't think the Dallas Stars are getting by the Colorado Avalanche. What say you?
Last 20 games, they've fallen off a rock, fallen off a cliff with their defensive metrics. It's been really bad in Dallas, really bad. That's why they need Miro Heiskanen back, and they don't know if he's going to be back until Game 4. If Robertson is out, and that looked like a pretty bad knee injury, they're loaded on the other side with Colorado. The experience, feeling they got back, then they changed. You look at Day 1 to who they are now, totally different group. I'm along with the ride with you, Doug, there. I believe the Colorado Avalanche have the upper hand against Dallas Stars. Tough to say that, but that might actually be the upset there.
Minnesota was able to hang around and get that spot locked up. But, Billy, I think maybe the best team nobody's talking about out west is the Vegas Golden Knights. Do you feel like this could be a slam dunk for Vegas this series?
Yeah, Vegas, long, talented. They have the makeup. You just go back to that defensive core, St. Louis, when they went on Vegas. Long-rangey defensemen get the job done in the playoffs. Everyone's 6'4", 6'3", on the back end. for Vegas. They block shots like crazy. They've got enough scoring. Jack Eichel up front and balance to go around. That is too deep of a lineup for the Minnesota Wild. Give them credit. Maybe Kaprizov does it something crazy, but there's just not enough on the other side. It was good for Minnesota just to get into the playoffs. I think they welcome that. They will have reinforcements when the salary cap, Aprizi, and Suter come off the books. Minnesota, good year for them. They will be much better next year.
Yeah, the future is bright. L.A. and Edmonton, last one here for us. L.A., I liked their chances before Ekholm got hurt, but I like them better in net. I like how they defend. I like that they have home ice and they're borderline unstoppable at home. And I think Matthias Ekholm is too big a loss for this Edmonton team on the back end. Billy, I think the Kings are getting past the Oilers finally this year.
Yeah, I'll ride with you on that. I agree with that because unless 29 and 97 put on the capes and just do unworldly things, it is possible. But they're slower, Doug. You have to look at Fogle gone. He was the speedster, Holloway, McLeod. They lost those three players. Who do you bring in? Arvidsson, not as fast. Jeff Skinner doesn't skate quite as well. This team doesn't skate as well as they did last year. Their penalty killing is nowhere as good as it was last year, especially when we saw them in the Stanley Cup Finals. That penalty killing was absolutely stunning to watch. The LA Kings find a way to get by Edmonton. Wow, we're seeing that again. But yeah, I'll go with that. Yeah, you never know what 97 and Draisaitl are going to do, but we'll wait and see.
And that takes us to the end of the program here, the Panthers playoff special. It's in the books. Billy Lindsay, great job as always. Great to see you, and we'll see you for game one, of course. Trevor Harris on the other side of the glass, outstanding. Big thanks to our guests, Jameson Olive, Etu Luostarinen, and we thank him for his time. Tim Reynolds back in hour number one. Thank you very much for stopping by, and big thanks to all of you who tuned in. I'm Doug Plagans. This has been the Panthers Playoff Preview Special. Game one, Tuesday, 8:30 over in Tampa, and we'll have you covered across the Panthers Radio Network.
Hey, guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.